Welcome to Android Developers Backstage. Today we are going to talk about Jetpack Compose. So if everything goes well, you should be hearing this episode after we released Jetpack Compose Alpha.
And if it doesn't go well, we may not do another episode ever again.
That's right. That's your the fear you've had since the beginning, right, Chad? That someone will notice at Google that we're doing this podcast and that you will be told to stop.
The only goal I've had with the podcast is don't get fired.
Anyway, we have three special guests today. So hi, I'm Romain Guy from the Android Toolkit team.
I'm Chet Haas from the Developer Relations team. And today we have...
Hi, I'm Anna Chiara. I'm from the Compose team.
Hi, I'm Clara. I'm one of the tech leads on Compose.
Hi, I'm Matvey. I'm an engineer on Compose.
Excellent. So Clara, is this your second episode? I know you joined us for a text episode in London once upon a time.
I don't know. I've done a couple. Whenever you used to come to London, you never come anymore.
Nobody goes anywhere anymore, but yes. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember if this was number two or three, but this one is a bit of a departure from previous ones.
Yes.
So somebody start us off. What is this Compose thing?
Compose is an amazing new UI toolkit.
I like how much you believe in it.
I do. This is amazing. And half built in London. Did you know that? That's amazing. But yeah, we're trying to replace 10 years worth of Android UI toolkit with a new UI toolkit. It will take us a while, but we're trying a completely different approach to UI, which we're very excited about. And we're finally reaching alpha. It's been a long journey.
Actually, I'm curious, right? Because we've had other people talk about Compose on this podcast. We've had, I think, Chuck Leland, who had some background in that space. But you, Clara, Madve, and Akira, you didn't do any... Did you do any reactive programming before? Or was that new to you?
Nope, completely new to me. Madve?
Yeah, I've done some, especially like on the business logic side. So RxJava and all this flow stuff, and also React. But yeah.
Yeah, wait, reactive programming, isn't that where you fix a bug because you realized you just shipped it in the release? I've done that. I've done that my entire career. Anakiara, you were saying something?
Yeah, I was saying that I tried a little of declarative programming before, I think with React Native, something like that, but very, very little.
So before we talk about the alpha itself, I was curious, like, what were to you like the specific challenges? You know, you not only moved to a full time like reactive programming, but you're also trying to build a reactive framework while learning reactive programming. So I assume it wasn't always easy, right?
It was a very long journey, especially because also when we started with the crazy idea of let's build a new toolkit, and this was a few years ago now. We didn't even decide we were going to do declarative from the start, right? It's kind of something that we evolved into. And we had a lot of learning to go through the way, especially ramping up a compiler plugin team. This was something that we definitely had not touched before as the Android toolkit. But I think we've had a lot of learning time, and we've had a lot of time to kind of soak in what we want Compose to be and how we want to get to. And now the challenge we're facing now is how do we teach everything that we've soaked for several years now into our developers? Like, how do we make them understand things that to us are now very natural?
Yeah, I think actually the story of Compose, maybe someday we should do something specific about that. But it, like you said, it has evolved a lot, right? Like when it started, it basically started from two projects, but one of them was taking our existing views and moving them into Jetpack so that we could fix bugs. And then it became, well, if we're going to do that, we might as well, you know, improve them a little bit. And then as you start thinking about improving them, you're like, well, how about we change them completely? And then we had this other project about the compiler you were just talking about. It's like, well, what if we take those two things and we merge them together? And then Compose was born, but Compose itself like has had a lot of different iterations. So it's very interesting to see how widely things have changed over the past couple of years.
Yes, many iterations.
And actually, you can tell that the team is still like going through that process because I think Madvey, you're one of the people responsible for that. But there's constant refactorings for folks who use the dev releases. We keep renaming things and changing how things work for the better, I hope.
Yes. That's actually a very good opportunity because, again, what also important that we were like doing the whole Compose from the very beginning, almost from the very beginning in AOSP, right? And so there was like a lot of developers' feedback regarding to like all the APIs that we are building. And so we are constantly evolving and people see it and they are able to give us the feedback. And so we are able to adjust, which is, I think, the opportunity to make very, very good APIs.
Speaking of feedback, just this morning, someone was giving us feedback on Slack and asking us if we had thought about using an XML-like syntax, like JSX, which is funny because that's actually what we had a couple of years ago, and we decided to stop using it.
Yeah, and I think that both of you touched on something that is super important. Like, we got a lot of feedback. It is true that we are iterating like crazy, probably, and to the external eye, it might seem we just can't settle. But the truth is that we really listen to feedback. We solicit a lot of feedback. We engage with the users, testers, whatever we can. And that's why we react to this feedback and we use it to make the product much better.
Actually, what's interesting is that more than listening to feedback, because we definitely listened to feedback before, that's not particularly new. I think the big difference is that because Compose is not tied to the platform, it's not tied to the releases of the platform, which gives us time and flexibility to actually do something about that feedback, which is quite a major difference. And ahead of time, instead of after we shipped it. So I mentioned the alpha release at the beginning of this podcast. Again, if everything went well, it was released yesterday, which means that when we said earlier this summer that alpha would be released later this summer, we made it. It's technically still summer.
Actually, okay,
it feels very much like summer.
I have a question about this. Did we have specific goals for alpha that we hit and therefore we declared alpha, or did we define what alpha meant based on the things that we had hit? What does alpha mean in the context of the Compose that just came out?
What does alpha mean, Chet? That's a very deep question. I'd say that the biggest push for us in the last few months, at least, like there's always an infinite amount of things that engineers would want to get into the perfect alpha. We try to focus, right? And we want it to release this summer. So a lot of the work we've put in the last few months is performance and polish. We wanted to make sure we were at a point where at least we were proud of what we were putting out there as an alpha. It wouldn't scare people off because it did have a reasonable performance. It did have APIs that made sense. And that explains a lot of the refactorings that we've done in the last few weeks. There's still a lot of work to do. And like performance is not where we want it to be finally. But at least we've done a lot of work in that space in the last few months that we're very proud of.
Yes. Also to add to that, I think we had like several major API and just in general design challenges that we had to solve before coming to alpha. So it's like famous in some circles, famous single versus multiple child composables problems or something like this, where the modifiers were born. So these challenges has been like solved, and that's again like a huge milestone.
So when you say
go ahead. No,
we can't
and that's
do this
why we
offline.
Said at the beginning.
It's too difficult.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand. Go ahead, Chet. Sorry.
I'll defer to you after that. I was going to follow up on something Claro said about performance. I assume you're talking about runtime performance, but I know that one of the things people had noticed early on was there's also the compiler plugin performance. Just building the thing was required more overhead than traditional Android apps. Is that also solved or in process? Where is that at?
Why does Chet always ask the hard questions?
Because he doesn't have to answer them.
Having a compiler plugin will always add something on, right? Like it can't be a negative over compile time. But we are trying to optimize that. The compiler team is working really hard on this. At the same time, we're trying to help the Kotlin compiler as well. There's a lot of work to do in this space, but we're not 1.0 yet, so we still have time. We're working hard on it.
And to give a bit of background, there are several things happening at the same time. So Compose is actually tied to Kotlin 1.4 because we use this thing called the new IR backend. So Kotlin was born to target, bytecode, but then it evolved to have JavaScript and Kotlin native backends. So JetBrains decided to create this new intermediate representation. So you don't compile directly to the final form of your code. It's what the Clangs and LVM do as well. So you have this intermediate representation of your code and you can do like general optimizations on it. And then you have another backend that will target bytecode, native, whatever. Anyway, so when Compose started, we were targeting that because it was the future of Kotlin. So we were also suffering in a way from targeting something that was under heavy development, which means that people were running into compilation bugs or performance issues. And at the same time, like Clara said, we have folks at Google who are helping JetBrains on the Kotlin compiler. And both teams have noticed that the front end of the compiler, so really like parsing the code, type inference, and all that kind of stuff is where a lot of the time is spent during compilation. So JetBrains is working on a new front end as well. So we have a new backend, a new front end is coming, and a new front end's main goal, my understanding is to speed up compilation. So some of those things are not related to Compose itself. Compose itself does add a little bit, but it's only when you're in composable functions, and it doesn't seem to be particularly noticeable.
Anakiara, I think you had something to say.
Yes, I had something to say. No, you were asking about what is alpha, how we define alpha, and why did we decide to release now? One of the things that we've been iterating a lot in the last couple of years has been the mental model. Like we started by talking about declarative programming, right? Like Clara said, it is difficult. It is something that for us is now supernatural, super new, and super fancy. We love it. But we also know that there will be some learning journey for our users. And we wanted to make sure that they would have to do it only once. And that we wouldn't release alpha with something where you learn a concept and then you have to change after a few weeks or after a few months or when we go 1.0. So for us, it has been super important to stabilize this mental model. The API surface around it might still change. It will still change. Maybe there will be more renaming and refactoring. But the way you think about writing in Compose is quite stable. And so it is a good time now to call it alpha and to ask people to really start learning it, understanding it, and give us feedback.
I think there's also something undeniable in software, or maybe, you know, all creative things that we do, where having a milestone to shoot for is really healthy and helpful, because otherwise you'll never get there, right? Like at some point, you know, when it looks like things are starting to converge, you kind of need to declare a date and go for that. And you may end up having to slip because this is software and that's what we do. But just knowing what that date is and what needs to be in there, I think helps motivate people to actually hit that, as opposed to, I mean, we're all engineers. We like to play with this stuff. We could play with it forever, right? And so the idea of having an alpha at a particular point in time means, okay, well, we are going to converge and maybe we need to cut features in order to do that, but at least we'll actually finish this research project. Clara?
It's been very interesting also to see, because we've been working on this for several years, the evolution of the teams through that experience, right? Because we had never done a project at this scale before as a toolkit team. And seeing how we started with this very green field, the scope kept growing and growing. Yep. And just doing an entire new toolkit is a huge thing. And now starting to see how the team needs to start shifting gear towards, well, there will always be more engineering that you can do. You will never reach the perfect solution you wanted for that design, but starting to shift gears towards how do we get this to people's hands, right? How do we get developers to actually use this? Because that's our final goal, is to make it useful to developers, right? But it's very, very interesting to see, like, a large team through several years, how we've gone through several phases of this. And now we're starting to really shift our gears towards getting to something final.
Yep.
Yeah, and Andrew? Yeah, I just wanted to add that that's very true. And I think what we were like targeting in general is that we wanted to build primitives, right? We wanted to have like an all necessary primitives in place. So you basically can build like an app or like everything using Compose. So it's not like the APIs are polished or something. You can build your own APIs if you want, but we already have all the necessary primitives in place.
One of the interesting things about Compose and why we feel confident moving to alpha, it's because, like Kotlin, you know, we have a good interrupt story. So if there is something that you absolutely need to do that for whatever reason you cannot do with Compose, first of all, give us feedback. We will fix that eventually. But also, you can always fall back to the existing view system, for instance. So you can call, of course, like all the existing APIs and platform APIs. So it's not like you are trapped in the Compose world with whatever limitations may be in place today.
So that makes me wonder. I'm sure that we have not rewritten all of the original components. We are expecting people to depend on some of the especially more complex views in the system. So what's the cut point, right? Do we have recycler view, or do we have the equivalent of it? Do we, you know, some of the more complex views that are out there, like, are we specifically targeting some for, you know, a 2.0, and we're limiting what we're going out with? to hit the dates and actually ship the product?
That's a wonderful question. So yeah, I think this is like a very interesting line to basically draw. I'd say first, we have, because we call it Compose, it's composable, right? And so you don't need to add a lot of different things to everything. I mean, your checkbox don't need to have like a line or a label. You can just mix a checkbox and a text together in a row and have it together. So in this case, the API surface becomes smaller. Therefore, it's easier to remake such things. And also, like coming back to, for example, recycle view. So again, here we have like a paradigm shift to what we can do. So like recycle view is imperative in some sense, right? And we can build an API to substitute this to have something more that feels more natural to use with Compose. And I think that's very important. And I think this is like a good candidate where we would like to rewrite or like remake the API kind of from scratch.
I think there's two categories of things as well. So there's things like maps views, ad views, web views. Like it's going to be really, really hard to substitute these even in the long term. And there's a lot of libraries out there that use these views. App developers will still want to use these libraries, and we can't expect them to rewrite everything in Compose. So there's a huge interop story around like existing things that are out there that we want to maintain. And those are very clearly on the we can't replace line. But then there's also the other side of the spectrum. So for example, we started building an entire new material component system. And we aim to build all of them, but at the same time, we are a limited team. We have our limited resources, and Compose makes it really easy for you to build your own things. So we've been prioritizing our time towards, as Matvei said, let's build the basics. Let's build the things that you need to be able to build upon. Because then building your own checkbox row is really easy. Building your own date picker is not that hard either, right?
And to your point about MapView, WebView, and all those, it's also because rewriting them would not give much benefit. I mean, especially WebView and MapView, for instance, those two surface views, and the Compose version would do something similar. So, you know, it would be taking